It's a privilege indeed to bring the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. And for those of us who were here on March 1st, the last message I gave, it was grace amidst discipline. In the light of Jonah's action. And then Tuesday night we spoke about Jonah. But then, after that last message that I gave, the Lord had pointed me to continue a message on Jonah. And even Elder Hall would say that the story is not complete. Make sure you finish it. So hopefully the Lord has answered your prayers. But Brother Bonney said something, Elder Bolly, he said something profound in Tuesday night meeting. He said, each time when you go to a well-known passage of scripture, there's always something new for you to get. And so, you know, I was thinking if I should change the message. But then I said, no, the Lord, I had asked for this message, and the Lord has given this message to me. So I should not change it. So I hope there is also something new in it. And I hope that soul, at least one soul, will be saved from the message. Let's take our Bible and turn to Jonah chapter 1. Verses 15 and 17. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then chapter 2, verse 1. Just going to chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Let us pray. Our blessed God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, O God, that your word will never get stale. There is always something new in your word. So we thank you, O God, for enriching us with your word. And we pray that hearts will be blessed today. And we pray that the message will not fall on deaf ears, but on receptive hearts. We give you thanks and ask for, as we ask for your Holy Spirit's leading, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So many of us have known the story of Jonah, and I'm going to take it that there are some who might have not known the story of Jonah. But everyone should listen to this message, because there's always something new into something that we think we know well. So Jonah was asked by God to go to Nineveh and to deliver a message to them. A simple message, but he refused to. And so he tried to run away. And so, he was now under divine discipline for his refusal. So Jonah came to what is called dead end. He came to his dead end. And so he prayed to the Lord. So the topic of this message is Jonah's dead end and breakthrough prior. So you see, even though we are talking about Jonah, it's a different topic from the last one I gave. Because that's how the word of God is. It's filled with dynamics. There is shifting. There is movement. So a dead end is a road that has no exit. It has a closed end where you hit a wall. So you come up to a end, close end, there's a solid wall, no through road. It's a dead end. Here there is no opportunity for progress, growth, or advancement. Disobedient to God is also a dead end. Disobedient to God is a dead end. Think before you disobey God. So when you're at your dead end, there's one of two things that you may do. One, You may remain there and die in disobedience. Two, you may make a U-turn through repentance and prayer. Which one do you choose? So the fact that you're able to make a U-turn, this shows God's grace, His enduring mercy, as it is His will that all should come to repentance. So if you choose not to repent, then the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Sin, including disobedience, can aid for death, especially when it is habitual. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 17, it asks a question. He said, why should you die before your time? Why should you die before your time? So you see that someone can die before his time. Yes, your days can also be lengthened if you fear the Lord. King Ezekiah prayed and asked God to lengthen his life. He was mortally ill, and he prayed and asked God to lengthen his life, and God added 15 years to it. So you see, you can die before your time, and you can also live longer than the time. People may debate that, but it's scriptural. Proverbs 10 and verse 27 says that the fear of the Lord prolong days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. God may also bring an unrepentant believer's physical life to an end as a final form of discipline. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's verse 30. Yes, here Paul explains that believers who show blatant disrespect during communion brings chastening upon themselves, which results in physical sickness, and for some, early physical death. 1 John 5 verse 16. 1 John 5 verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he, that's the Father, will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I don't say that you should pray about that. So this sin may be interpreted as a state of willful, continuous disobedience where God intervenes by taking a believer's home to prevent further dishonor. So you see, our life must bring glory to God. It must honor God. So someone say, yes, when we save, we believe in save and lost so we can live as we like. God forbid. We can't live as we like. And if we try to, then as a final form of discipline, the Lord may call you home. There are bitter consequences to disobedience, especially when you try to run or hide from God. Can you run and hide from God? And God is just so sovereign. He knows all things. When you're hiding, He just said, Adam, where are you? He just asked questions. Why are you hiding? You know? So the Lord is so patient with us. So Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. The belly of a fish, it speaks of a place of deep affliction and helplessness. Could someone say dead end? Of course, there is no running there. That's a dead end. So disobedience in itself is dead end. That's all that's going to happen. You're going to get to a point where you can't run anymore. So, there is physical distress and extreme discomfort as He was confined to a disgusting dark environment, likely facing suffocation hazard due to minimal oxygen level in the fish gut. So there is not much oxygen in the gut of a fish. He also faced burning hazard due to acidic stomach juices in the stomach, which is able to dissolve protein. And Jonah certainly is a good chunk of protein, but was not meant for fish food. Praise God. Literal darkness was also there. Sometimes the disobedient need darkness, literal darkness, in order for their spiritual eyes to be open. What? Oh yes. Sometimes this literal darkness might be blindness. But thank God, this wasn't the case with Jonah. So this experience forced Jonah to confront his pride in running from God and serve as a time for him to stop hiding and reflect. You know, the prodigal son, he went afar off too and tried to hide from his father and carry out all his wanton living. But he too came to a dead end and had to reflect. And he made a choice there, back home to his father. He could also make the choice of not going back home. And you know what happens? In disobedience, you die in it. And oh, what death. Jonah also experienced a live-grave experience. Or, yes, he got a live-grave experience. Jonah felt as though he were in the belly of Sheol. That's the grave. So, this was told to us in, according to Job 2, or Jonah 2 verse 2, rather. Yes. So, he described it as a place of death, silence, and total separation from the living God. And out of God's sight. Separation from living, from people itself, and out of God's sight. So, what he experienced is a dead end. Sometimes, disobedient need to come to their dead end. The ordeal broke his heart and broke his pride, driving him to cry out. So there's a song that we sing, reach out and touch the Lord. How can you reach out and touch the Lord? By crying out, by praying. That's the only way we can reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Jonah, touch the Lord by crying out to God from the fish belly, after he felt his life slipping away. Sometimes they say you must feel. In order for you to learn, you must feel. So thank God for this chastening. He felt his life slipping away. So in Jonah 2 and verse 7, Jonah said that when his soul fainted within him, he remembered the Lord and prayed. Thank God, this experience he had was that of a living grave. But thank God it wasn't the real grave where the dead is. Because there's no repentance in the grave. No repentance in the grave. If there is someone here who has not accepted the Lord as Savior, let it be known that it's appointed unto man once to die. And there is no repentance in the grave. So when is the best time to seek the Lord, to choose him? Now is the best time. The next minute, so we say that the next day is not promised to anyone. The next minute is not even promised to anyone. So Jonah, he prayed. So this was the solution to his breakthrough. So prayer is the solution for his dead end. The solution for his dead end. So thank God. So Jonah said to the Lord in Jonah 2 and verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. And I love this part. He said, salvation is the Lord. Salvation is the Lord. Some of us human beings, we think that salvation is of us. And some of us think that we can save our own selves when we feel like. And so they keep putting off God, and think that you can save yourself when you feel like. But it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. My mom ministered to someone. He was up in age. And she ministered to him and she asked him, why not accept the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said to her, it is too late now. And he was not healed. He said, it's too late now. He could think well, he could speak, but he said, it's too late now. So you see, you cannot save yourself as you like. If you keep putting off God all these years, you may just come to a point where he's just not there anymore. Because you shun him. You turn your back upon him. Keep putting him off. So Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Cry out to God and call upon him for salvation. Cry out to God and call upon him, for we need him more than ever. This verse is a call to urgency. It encourages turning to God, repenting and seeking his mercy while the door of grace is open and he is accessible. A time is coming when that door will be closed and he will not be accessible. So now is the appointed time to seek the Lord. Jonah 2 and verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. How powerful is this verse? There is mercy being extended to you, but you forsake it. And in forsaking it, you're regarding your worthless idols. And I'm sure that it's clear to us that we see even on social media, there are so many, many worthless idols. What you put before Christ. Some people are on their phone looking at certain things. You can see them on the train. You can see them. They're crossing the street, not knowing whether the light is on red or green. And the music, the noise, it's there in your ears. And they're just into it. And people do not find time to pray. Just because of idols, which Jonah described as worthless. And there are many other worthless idols. So, please surrender and give up the things that are holding you back from serving the Lord. It's a trick from the devil. The devil does not want you to study the Bible. The devil does not want you to accept Christ as Savior. He brings up all manner of distractions. All manner of things that glitters. But then there's a saying that not all that glitter is gold. He set these things as trap to distract you. Please listen to the voice of God. Even as the Holy Spirit prompts you. Do not turn him off. Do not push him aside. It's a trick from the devil. You need to overcome. The devil is going to laugh at you in the end. If you find yourself where he is, he's going to laugh. So the most powerful prayers offered are when our lives are totally surrendered to God. That is, withholding nothing. There's a song that we sing, withholding nothing. It's a powerful song. And not anyone can sing that song. Because many have one foot in and one foot out and it just cannot work. It is withholding nothing. That's total surrender. Jonah's powerful prayer through surrender entered the ears of the Lord. What made Jonah's prayer so powerful? because he surrendered. So Jonah 2 and verse 10. So the Lord. Jonah 2 verse 10. So the Lord, and we say we're suffering, spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah was thankful in verse 6 that the Lord had brought him up with his life from the pit. We read in Jonah 3 verses 1 to 3 where the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time that he should arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that the Lord told him, and he rose and went there accordingly. Here we see that Jonah was given another opportunity to obey and serve God. So God is the God of second chances. He's the God of second chance. That point was highlighted in last Tuesday's discussion. But second chance come through prayer. Second chance come through prayer. The immediate result of Jonah's prayer was God's intervention as the fish vomited him onto dry land, with his life, of course. So God is not only present in our dark times, but active, and he never gets weary. So he's always active and never get weary. So there's hope in the midst of despair. But this hope comes to repentance. What a merciful God we serve. There is hope. Even though Jonah was seemingly in an impossible situation, the belly of Sheol, he believed that God could deliver him. And we know that hope in God does not disappoint. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is power in repentance. There is power in repentance. Regardless of past disobedience, turning to God in prayer opens the way of restoration. Someone say breakthrough? Breakthrough. That's what the prayer does. So Jonah chose to let go and let God. He acknowledged his sin rather than clinging to his own desires or what he described as worthless idols. He had to let go. He chose to submit to God's will and purpose. God's will for sinners is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Jonah was saved. He was a good man, but disobedient like many Christians. He was disobedient like many Christians today. Psalm 37 verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Verse 24. Though, listen to this one, verse 24 of Psalms 37. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his hands. Thank God. That was the situation with Jonah. Sometimes God has to put the disobedient person down so he can elevate him. Yes. You can't just go on and on and on and think that you can live anyhow because you're saved. God has a way of putting you down so he can elevate you. What a gracious God. He wants to elevate everyone in who are in Christ Jesus. So the lowest point in our lives can be the place where we experience God's power and grace the most. Hitting that rock bottom can be the very means to bring us back to the place of obedience and ultimately to God's purpose. Praise the Lord. Jonah's prayer was rooted in scripture. So you see, it's good to know the scripture. Jonah's prayer was almost entirely composed of phrases from the Psalms, demonstrating the power of praying using the word of God. That's why we say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thy word is everything to us. It is through the word that we got faith. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Praise God. The word means everything to us. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But some people want to ask in their pride. You must ask with humility. Humility comes before prayer. Jonah recognized and declared that salvation belongs to the Lord. In Jonah 2 and verse 9. So shifting his focus from his own limited perspective to God's ultimate power and grace. That's humility. You got to become like a little child. As St. Matthew 18 and verse 4 tells us, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility comes before prayer. But prayer comes before commitment to obedience. You can't be in obedience without prayer. You can't do it of your own. We need help from God. And so prayer comes before commitment to obedience. Commitment to obedience must be prayerfully made. So Jonah concluded his prayer by promising to fulfill his vows to God, showing a recommitment to his original neglected mission. So the unsaved can't make a commitment to God because they do not have the Holy Spirit. They cannot. So they must first reach out and touch the Lord through prayer of salvation, acknowledging their sins, asking for forgiveness, believing that Jesus died and rose to pay for their sins, and inviting him into their life. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you are not born again, is there anyone who is not born again? Please accept the Lord before it's too late. Even now. No one can force you, but the Spirit of God is speaking to you to make that choice. The best choice that you'll ever make in your lifetime. A life-saving choice. So if there's such one, you could come forward and someone will show you further how you can be born again. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.